Okay, everybody. Well, Frank's not here because he detests us and everything that we stand for, so we're doing another non-pro trailer dump.
I'd like to definitely change the order of this. Frank detests this format, this specific show, so much that he would not attend. Mm-hmm. He also disdains us, but maybe not as much as the trailer dump itself.
That's fair. But anyway, let's get talking about a lot of the trailers that have come out recently, and there have been quite a few. I think we'll go with a soft one here. Let's go with It Chapter 2.
I mean, I'm excited. I like that the trailer played out kind of a long scene in the beginning and then gave us kind of flashes of what the movie is going to have. We got to see a peek at its great cast.
Chris Pratt. Wrong Chris, aren't I?
No Chris.
No, there's a Chris in this. No, there is. There's one of the
James McAvoy's in it.
I know James McAvoy's in it. I'm willing to bet money on this. There's a God. What the heck is his name? It is Chris Pratt, isn't it? No, he's in this movie.
No. I'm gonna get the full cast for you right now.
Okay. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I could have sworn to God I saw him in a preview for this.
So the adult cast is Jessica Chastain.
Okay.
James McAvoy, Bill Hader. Bill Skarsgård is reprising his role as the clown. James Ranson, Andy Bean, Jay Ryan, Isaiah Mustafa.
Mustafa. Chris Jiggins is credited as paramedic. It's the next to the last entry on IMDb.
Well, there's just egg all over my face.
Yeah, there is no Chris in the main cast.
Well, I'm full of it, apparently.
Boo.
All right, so... It's a very interesting trailer, though. Like you said, it's that long open with that very creepy, like, elderly woman, which at first sort of isn't all that off because she's just as...
Just seems like an old weird old lady.
Yeah, yeah. Until it's all of a sudden towards the end of it when you see, like, the circus thing on the side and, like...
You're like, oh she's nuts.
Oh, no, it's more than that. Like, she has a connection to whoever the big bad was in the first one. So it sort of becomes a lot more than that.
Look, I really liked It Chapter 1. I was really surprised that it came out to be a really great film. I think, as someone who read the book, it really falls apart in the second half.
Oof.
Gets real weird. So, yeah, I'm hoping that, they can kind of ground it with the movie by making a couple of changes and kind of bringing the ending together in a cool way. So,
yeah, because if I remember correctly, the book wasn't split up like kids and then adults. It was rather like the It TV special, which was everything was kind of interspersed throughout, correct?
It was a little bit of both. So it's kids up front and then a lot of interspersion in the middle and then really focusing on the adults at the end.
Okay. So hopefully... Like, it turns out to be pretty good. Because, again, the first one was better than any movie about it I expected to be. So that was a surprise. The next film that I think we should all talk about is going to be a trailer that came out rather recently. And I have a lot of bizarre feelings about. And it's the Terminator Dark Fate. God, what is with these names? What was the last one? It was Genesis, but spelt with a Y?
That was the name of the company, wasn't it?
I don't know. Like, it's just... I'm not sure how I feel about this one.
I feel like a lot of it, like, people are just going for nostalgia lately and just not delivering like they should be. Like I feel like people are really excited because you got Linda Hamilton back. You have Cameron's came back, right?
So it's the people handling the movie are James Cameron is producing the film. The rights finally turned over to him a year or two ago. As compared to just being in the hands of Fox because they didn't produce any more films after Genesis. And Tim Miller, the guy who directed the first Deadpool movie, is directing this film. So, you know, somebody who we know could make an interesting film on a smaller budget, really, you know, with really cool effects. So I think those things definitely work to the movie's advantage.
And, we talk about Avengers doing a multiverse thing. Before that, even, we had Terminator do that. So we have the lucky chance of having them just literally go straight from what we really liked in the Terminator series.
So it seems like this one cuts out 3 entirely. So we've cut out Genesis 3, the TV series.
Salvation.
I thought Salvation was supposed to take place, like, in the real future. Like, in like, the future of 1.
No, it took place after 3.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically, yes.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess time the real travel. Future, whatever, to, yeah.
It either takes place before or after.
We're
relatively sure it doesn't happen parallel to 1.
Yeah, we're pretty sure about that one. Although Genesis takes place parallel to 1.
I demand a flowchart.
Because
you
can
get one.
We have Arnold fighting Arnold in that movie. And Arnold returns in this one, too.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger is in this one, as well as, John said, Linda Hamilton. But apparently they have an interesting way of bringing him back. So we'll see what they've cooked up this time.
Yeah.
Good thing is he's himself, not CG.
Is he still a Terminator, though? Because we don't see. And like, I'm
I don't
not
know.
Really sure.
Well,
yeah.
I thought the original guy, they got, you know, that weird Texas Colonel guy or whatever that they based.
Well,
that was
in
T-1000
3. So, I mean, and again, if we're ignoring everything that came after 2, then I guess that technically doesn't matter. But it's still a very odd. I don't really like how we keep cutting it at a certain point and then going back. I mean, I guess it involves time travel. I guess I shouldn't be so turned off by this. But it does become kind of confusing when there's, like, this huge, like, back catalog of Terminator movies. Which ones do I have to watch? Which ones do I not? It becomes kind of messy, especially after Genesis, which took place in the middle of the other movies. So,
well, clearly, you're supposed to watch them all.
I mean, sure.
I think it's interesting that, I feel like here at the network we're big fans of comics, and I feel like that happens in comics all the time. We just have a bunch of different storylines that are like, well, yeah, but this doesn't really matter for this story, or this doesn't really matter for this story. This is just a different take, or this takes place after this, or this is just kind of what we're going with. I think it's new to movies, but I don't think it's a new concept.
I mean, maybe it is a little bit because we're sort of following the same... Well, all right, we're not necessarily following the same characters. We sort of are, like, because we do have Sarah Connor show up, and apparently there's a Terminator now that's sort of like the T-1000, only a little bit different. Sort of like how the John Connor looked in Genesis. He's after this other person, this other young woman, and there's a cyborg, sort of, kind of. We're not sure who she is or what she's about quite yet, but we know she's not fully human. And she's protecting the little girl from this guy.
I mean, aren't you already wondering which Hulks are canon? Because of what they did, I mean... With that franchise?
That's different. Like, it is a little bit, because I'm not confused when John Connor is played by a different actor in Genesis as opposed to who he was played by in Salvation or who he was played by in T2. That doesn't bother me. When T3 came out, I was not confused by who played John Connor.
But if he's played by a different actor, is it the same canonical storyline?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part.
As opposed to what happened with Hulk.
No, yeah, everything seems...
Which
everything still
three
seems
different
to line
actors,
up.
And are they all canon?
Oh, Hulk versus Incredible Hulk.
Theoretically, I mean, the Incredible Hulk and the rest of the Avengers portrayals are canon.
Yeah.
But Ang Lee's Hulk
doesn't count.
Ang Lee's Hulk is...
Although it does theoretically provide the origin for Ed Norton's...
They made it intentionally ambiguous so people could think it was a sequel, but it was not technically a sequel.
Yeah. But it's... Again, we're getting into this weird... convoluted section of this, but like let's try and bring it home a little bit. How do we feel about
I was just curious here, like, John Connor's character has been in every movie and played by a different character in every or different person in every movie, hasn't it?
Salvation was played by a different actor. He was played by what's his name, Batman,
Christian Bale.
Yeah,
he was like a background character in the first one too. Like, he was like, oh yeah, here.
Yeah, he just shows up at the beginning. Gets with Sarah Connor and...
No, that's...
John Connor does not get with his father.
He sends Reese back in time.
That's Reese. You're right.
But we do see him talk to Kyle Reese. We do see him show up. He is the kid in 2. He's the older guy. He's older, but still kind of a kid in 3. He's the leader played by Batman in Salvation.
He's obviously played by another kid in the TV series. And I don't even know if he's in this one. Was he in this one?
No, as far as we can tell. He is in Genesis, though. He's the bad guy in Genesis?
Yeah, technically he's the bad guy in Genesis.
John Connor is in, or he's credited, listed in the cast list for...
For the new one?
For the new Terminator.
So we've had a different actor play John Connor.
7
times. Is it a different actor?
It's an actor by the name of Jude Colley, who doesn't even have an IMDb picture.
Then that's
he might
a
just
new
be
actor.
Flashbacks.
Well, we just ruined it for ourselves. Thanks.
But IMDb ruined it for us.
Thank
credit
you.
Where credit is due.
Jerks.
No, going back to it, I think that there's something interesting about this film. I'm not a big fan of them cutting and starting over like they did in Genesis again. Not that I want to follow that story too much. I wasn't the biggest fan of their concepts. But I am interested in who this little girl is, who's the woman protecting her. And the fight scenes look amazing. I'll give it that.
I have honestly very little expectations. I really love the first two Terminator films, and the Sarah Connor Chronicles TV series, I think, is amazing, even though it only had short-lived two seasons. That's it. I am kind of Terminatored out. I feel like we're continuing to return to a franchise that really needs a real reinvention, and it hasn't gotten it, and I don't necessarily know if returning to Sarah Connor and Arnold Schwarzenegger is a real reinvention. Again, the same thing with Genesis, where it was like, we're going to reinvent this. Haha, just kidding. We're not really.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, speaking of reinvention, there's a franchise with a huge reinvention that got a trailer for a film rather recently, and that's the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. That's a franchise that like was so desperately in need of such reinvention, right?
Now, I think I can speak for everybody where, like, literally, I didn't realize I could question what was going on in a trailer that many times, you know, in, what, 2 minutes?
Yep.
Where, like, I'm like, why did they make this choice? Why did they do this? Why am I hearing Gangster's Paradise
that
right now?
That was the thing that confused me the most. I will be honest. I was like, wait, Gangster's Paradise? Like, that was the thing that really was, like, that the hackles were raised on.
Why are his hands white, but he's not wearing gloves?
That's... Why does he have human teeth?
Why like, I think what makes this trailer so frustrating is we just got Detective Pikachu, which just has some incredible character design that feels very faithful yet very realistic to the video game Pokemon and managed to be really good and had trailers that instantly came out and had us going like, wow, how can this look so good? And then Sonic came out and said, wow, this looks like the exact train wreck I thought it was going to be.
Yep. I watched Detective Pikachu. There was a character with the skull of its mother on its head, and I was not as creeped out as I was when I saw Sonic.
It's true. That was the only reveal of the movie.
I feel
like watching this trailer, it was just like the movie could be good, but it was like some people in an ad firm were like, hey, these things worked in the Detective Pikachu trailer. Let's put them in the Sonic trailer, not thinking about how they actually connected back to what they watched, or what we were watching, rather. And it just, like, none of it really, there's no cohesion about anything at all. It's just hard to
digest.
There's
a lot of scenes that just sort of bleed together into something that resembles, like, footage. Like, I mean, I can't even come up with it. I'm so, like, aghast by, like, what's even going on.
I'm actually disturbed by the fact that all of this focus is drawn on the way Sonic looks and the way Gangster's Paradise sounds. And no one is focusing on the absurdity of casting Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik in a world where Danny DeVito is not currently engaged.
Doing anything important?
Yeah.
He's not Wolverine yet. He's still doing It's Always Sunny.
Is anybody doing It's Always Sunny right now?
Danny DeVito's doing it in his basement.
I really hope that's true. Like,
he's going to continue the show no matter what.
I thought Jim Carrey was the one redeeming factor.
I'm not against...
Honestly, like, if the one thing I liked about it is, like, I saw him evolve during the trailer. He became slowly more and more cartoony and more like Dr. Robotnik by the end of the trailer. It was the one redeeming factor of this trailer, and he will carry this movie.
I don't know if I necessarily have a problem with full-on 90s Jim Carrey. I'll probably watch it. I really liked Ben Schwartz as the voice of Sonic. It kind of nails some of my favorite incarnations of the Sonic voice over the years. A little bit of an attitude, a little bit stuck up. Well, geez, you know. honestly, Jaleel White, man, you know. I think Ben Schwartz is talented. I think he's a good actor. I think he actually brings a pretty good voice to Sonic, but it's hard because you have to look at Sonic to hear the voice, and, you know, that kills it.
I think that definitely brings up a good point about Jim Carrey not getting some credit, but also sort of like that degradation as he slowly but surely looks more like the cartoon character, or the video game character, excuse me. I like his performance. I do. I think it's very much, like James said, it's 90s Jim Carrey.
Yeah, at least what we see it in the trailer, it seems like pretty 90s Jim Carrey, which is cool.
I'm not exactly a big fan of the rest of the cast that we've seen. Like, we have the villain from Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 coming in as some military guy. We have, like, some, like... James Marsden, thank you. We also have, what's his name, hanging around, like... Again, people I don't care about, actually, who are more or less the partners with Sonic the Hedgehog as he's, like, going around, like, carrying him like a baby in a suitcase. Like, there's a lot of, like, stupid kind of gross-out 90s humor in here for kids' movies that I'm just kind of like, I mean, I guess if you want to bring back the Tood from those video games and, like, turn it into movie form, that works. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, I'm kind of past this. I feel like we, as, you know, movie watchers, kind of got past this genre film. I don't know.
I think there's, like I said, there's a good medium way to do it where you have your human character and your CGI thing and you balance the time well and, you know, everybody can go watch Detective Pikachu again when it comes out on DVD in February as compared to this movie, which I think is something interesting to note. So the reaction to this trailer was so horrific. The director of the film said, hey, we're going to go back to the drawing board and we're going to rework how Sonic looks. As if that is the only problem with this film.
They actually even went further back because they were just going to redo everything. And then there was such a massive public outcry for how hard they were going to make the artists work. They're like, hey, yeah, we're also going to push the movie back a little bit.
Hopefully we'll get an announcement in another few weeks that they'll do some research, reshoots, and then we can be like, okay, maybe there's hope.
Maybe it'll be like Rogue One. They'll just redo the whole movie. Who knows? But after all this, let's have a good solid palate cleanser with a trailer I think I really liked and hopefully everyone else did, which was the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. The newest one. Like, I know we've covered the older one at one point during the podcast, but I'm a big fan of this new one as we get to see a lot more of the interactions with Mysterio and Peter in this one.
I feel like, you know, as is appropriate with Mysterio, a lot of this is smoke and mirrors. Like, I feel like, you know, they might be doing the usual Marvel thing where some of this might not make the movie. There's obviously, like, Mysterio is not who he appears to be.
Yeah.
Like, in some way, something's going to happen where he's not he may not actually be the villain, like we're all thinking, but something is going to be different about him than we're expecting.
I think it's cool that they're possibly introducing the multiverse. I think it's cool that the new trailer directly deals with the consequences of Endgame, you know, which is something that I think is important because... You know, I think Pope and I both kind of said it after we were done with Endgame. Like, yeah, I'm probably going to go see Spider-Man, but, like, why am I going to go see Spider-Man? So having, you know, having that kind of in there, you know, and as Kevin Feige says, he likes to end, you know, he likes to end with that palate cleanser movie, you know. So you get your big climax Ant-Man. And you have a palate cleanser. And Ant-Man, right? Spider-Man Far From Home. Uh-huh. Right? So that, I'm kind of excited about that. I'm really cool that we're going to get to see, like, Nick Fury and Maria Hill and all those characters in this, too. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I also am going to say I really like the CGI creatures in this film. They look pretty sweet. Yeah. I like the Molten Man, Hydro Man, and the Sandman. Like, these are not the iterations of these characters that I expected, but I still kind of like their inclusion, and they look nice. The designs are nice.
They're
kind of
cool. They remind me of, like, Elementals, and I think that's neat.
Yeah, I agree. It looks really good. I'm also interested in what the relationship with him and MJ are going to be, because apparently she just knows he's Spider-Man. Which I guess we got somewhat of a hint in the first one, so...
It could also be a fake. It could also be a fake out. You know, she could be like, no, I'm just kidding. Would you, Spider-Man? You know, something like that.
Funny.
Could be like that.
Yeah.
Good shock moment for the trailers, but not, you know...
Don't Ghost Nick Fury. That was pretty funny out of the trailer. I enjoyed that.
The inclusion of Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan has me very excited, because I was always worried, like... I actually really like Happy Hogan, and I was kind of I wonder what's going to happen to him now that... Spoilers. But, yeah, it's great that he's going to get to play a part in this movie. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're dealing with a lot of the Endgame fallout. We're dealing with, like, Peter possibly having to fill some pretty big shoes. Maybe wanting to relinquish that position to another hero that has come along and proved himself superior. Or, you know, possibly has proved himself superior. We don't know. And we also have, like, a lot of the, like, cool suits that we've seen. We've seen, like, the Iron Spider suit. We're seeing the classic suit. We're seeing their, the black, like, stealth suit. And we're seeing another sort of take on the original suit with more black to it. So I don't know what that's going to be about, but I'm interested. Definitely hype about Spider-Man Far From Home.
What's the next trailer on our list?
I think next trailer at this point... Oh, okay, so we're going to be talking about... some TV at this point, or some streaming services, really, not necessarily TV. Or streaming and then pay for services. So we have HBO's Watchmen, which is going to be a sequel to not the movie, not the book.
So the way I've described it is it's a story that kind of, almost as if it's a spiritual successor to the book.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure what I think about the trailer. There's a lot of stuff in there, and there's not a lot of context for it. That being said, I was not looking forward to a straight Watchmen adaption. I think that would be a mistake. I am interested on a new take on Watchmen that maybe spiritually holds up the parts of Watchmen that are good and that should be explored, maybe in a new medium, right? And exploring those sorts of themes and concepts in that medium. That's cool.
I'm going to take the actual opposite tack. I'm actually kind of disappointed that we don't get an adaptation of Watchmen.
Mm.
I was very interested when I heard they were doing a TV series. HBO is doing it. In the HBO thing, usually these kinds of prestige TV series last about 12 episodes a season.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between 10 to 12 hours.
I was very interested to see how they would try to adapt maybe issues on a one-to-one, one issue to one episode basis.
We're certainly smaller than the movie would have had to do it.
I would have been very interested to see how that panned out.
I think it would have went a lot better, actually.
Yeah, I think it would have been better. I think you have the room to actually adapt almost possibly down to a panel by panel, which is how the original comics were crafted. And the comics were crafted very tightly. But that being said, I do also appreciate the other tack, taking it as a natural adaption. And what seems to be happening is we seem to be taking the world of Watchmen as Watchmen reflected the political climate of the 80s. And it seems like we're projecting that now forward into the present day.
Yeah.
And seeing how that world reacts to how the world has evolved.
And I am interested in that take on it because we are existing in a world where either Dr. Manhattan has introduced aliens or himself as a threat or whatever it is, where the world kind of came together and held hands, but it's all, like, tenuous, and they even talk about that in the trailer, I believe. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know, it's very strange if it's just all about figuring out the lie that was in the last few, like, minutes, or not, sorry, I guess in the last few pages, I guess for lack of a better term, of the comic book. So I don't know. They'd have to give me something more than that. And they look like there is more there, but I don't know if that's just set dressing for what is just a kind of mediocre plot. So, I don't know. We'll find out.
It's the first trailer. There's really not a lot to go on. Yeah. I think one of the things I like, too, is that it doesn't seem to be, like, visually trying to mimic in any way the movie. Knowing that, you know, it's not trying to be a sequel to it, but you know sometimes how they do that sort of thing where they're like, you know, like, well, you know, we want people to feel like they can come in, you know, in case they're worried. But I feel like we're getting less and less of that these days.
Yeah, I don't think it's definitely not taking its visual cues directly from the movie. But it also is put together in such a way that it doesn't seem to clash with the movie.
No.
So I think it will still be accessible to people that liked the movie, whoever they may be.
Yeah, I mean, visually speaking, it had some great stuff.
I really like the idea of Jeremy Irons as Adrian Veidt.
Oh, yeah.
30 years on.
Yeah, no, I think he fits perfectly. Great.
All right, so we have our last trailer for the DC streaming service, which is Swamp Thing.
It makes my heart sing.
I'm going to be real, though. I was a big fan of Swamp Thing as a kid, mainly due to the toy line and the cartoons. And there was a movie. Not that terribly long ago, but, you know, well, as a child, and I was a big fan of that character. So I'm kind of hyped to go and watch this trailer about this superhero that I, you know, kind of grew up with, and it's not at all what I expected.
It seems like they're taking a very traditional horror look at it, and I'm sure it's going to be, I have a feeling it's going to be that sort of like, well, you know, this thing's the bad guy. Oh, no, wait. He's actually stopping the bad people, right?
Yeah.
Sort of deal. But that being said, I don't think that's a bad way to take it. You know, Swamp Thing is definitely more of a horror adaptation as far as comics go.
Absolutely.
And to lean into that, I think, is the better way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that a lot of people died in that trailer.
Yep. Oh,
That body count was high. Kids, old people, it don't matter. You're going to die.
Are you sure they were actually people?
I am not 100%.
I'm interested.
There you go.
Yeah, geez. I'm interested to see. I hope some of the villains do actually show up. I hope that we do get some, like, weird mutant creatures. And I do hope that there's some some cool mad science stuff going on.
Definitely look like some mad science.
Oh, Definitely some mad science going on.
Do we think this is like zombie-ish in that way? Like where the people were starting to get sick and then you see the, you know, the very pale person come up and start attacking people? And...
A little bit. I don't think they're going full zombie. I think they're going like...
mindless killer because of sickness.
Like, yeah. Like zombie people. Or just kind of like weird mutant people. Like I think that's a little bit off genre.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried we're going to get too Umbrella Resident Evil with this.
Yeah.
Which I'm not really a fan of.
I'm also the same thing. We got so many zombie-like stories. Try to keep it centralized on the swamp thing.
Yeah.
Rumors right now, because it comes out on Friday, or the 31st, are that the series is actually really good. But there was some trouble in production, and instead of finishing the series out at 13 episodes, the director wrapped it at 10 and left the show. So hopefully it has an ending that is satisfying, because it'll be really unfortunate if this is really good and it just kind of... You know,
yeah.
Cuts.
I mean, we'll know as soon as it comes out. It'll be on the DC streaming service. It'll just be, we can all watch it all
I don't
at
know
once.
If it, DC is has been doing them week to week. Mm. Not,
not all at once?
Not all at once.
Okay.
They, or at least in chunks, right? So they did chunks with Young Justice. I think they are doing week to week with Doom Patrol.
They
and
are
they were
actually,
doing week to week with,
I thought that was just
Titans.
Doom Patrol.
So. You know, I'm assuming that Swamp Thing will follow suit on the week-to-week thing, but I guess we'll see on Friday.
I'm going to say this, actually. The DC streaming service has seemed more and more appealing as time has gone on.
Each new show they release gets better and better marks, right? So it's almost as if they, like, release a show, they learn some lessons from it, and then start production on the next.
So how long until the cinematic universe starts learning lessons?
Who knows?
Well, Shazam was great.
Shazam was good.
Yeah, so they might be learning lessons from that. I mean, we've got at least two good DC EU. Is that what it is?
Two good DC EU movies?
Yeah.
Well, somewhere in there we've got like two, maybe two and a half.
Yeah, so like maybe they're learning some lessons. We'll see how it all shakes out with the next big film in their franchise. Or we'll just stick with TV. Because apparently they're really good at that. But thank you all for joining us for another episode of Trailer Dump. It's been a pleasure having you, as always. You can go catch us on your favorite podcatcher app, whatever that might be, iTunes. You can go and give us a review and give us 5 stars because, you know, hey, you know, it's the season of giving because it's Christmas in July, in August, in May.
No.
So that's just...
Too far.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Support our Patreon so that we don't have to let Al make jokes like that again.
Yeah,
we can hire better hosts.
Or better writers.
Also, click like and subscribe on something. I don't know that podcasters do that. But
well, we
click
kinda...
like, find something, click like, and click subscribe on that.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.